Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to episode 3.
Birthday edition.
It's Maggie's birthday today.
Hello. Yeah, we were going to record it earlier, so we didn't have to do it on my birthday, but I got nothing. This is fine. I'm happy to do this on my birthday. It's fun. But that means I'm in charge.
Yes. So for episode 3, Maggie's going to call the shots for... everything, pretty much.
Yep.
From check-in topic to question choice to affirmation of the day, it is all Maggie's decision.
Holla!
So we're at her disposal today.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. All right. The check-in topic today, we're going to do a little differently. It's going to be a question, but I thought it would be a really good check-in topic. It's from my best friend, Erica with a K, from Hampton Bays, New York. And she had... of course, a proposed topic instead of a question. A brief or detailed, whatever either of you two are comfortable with sharing, list of experiences or an experience that helped you recognize this is not just a bad habit, this is a mental health problem, and I need to take the first step in recovery.
Mm.
What made you want to change? Was there one specific moment in time or a combination of several things? Your tipping point. Which is great. And I'm going to talk about what it was for me personally and what I've read from other people that have stuck with me. And if you hear the meowing in the background, it's my cat. What's up, Tybee? Say hello. Okay, so for me personally, my tipping point, the actual day, was the day after Thanksgiving when I was hungover, throwing up behind my...
Was it this year?
This year.
Thanksgiving?
This Thanksgiving. And I was, I woke up at 4 in the morning to make bread, and I was taking shots. And then, the next day, I was hungover at work, and my anxiety was, like, through the roof. And, I looked at one of my customers who is in AA, and I looked at him and I said, I can't do this anymore. I need to go to AA. And I remember, I was like, well, not tonight, not tonight. Oh, man, he ruined my pants again.
Oh, no, Tybee.
Not tonight, maybe next week. But I ended up dragging myself Monday and doing it then. And really what for me was a combination of the hypochondria, which I've talked about before, like thinking this is killing me, the anxiety, and just like I was drinking until I was puking most of the time or hungover. And I couldn't function, and I wasn't able to take care of the things that I needed to take care of in my life. And I already knew it was a problem because I wasn't able to stop. Mm. Which leads me to something I read on the Stop Drinking subreddit. It's a story someone went into about his boss, who was a former alcoholic, sitting him down and telling him he had a problem. But, and I quote, he told me the two big things that define an alcoholic he learned in rehab and AA was, one, you can't control when you drink, and two, you can't control how much you drink. And I had both of those issues. I would come home from work and be like, oh, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink, and then an hour later I was taking shots of vodka. And then I couldn't stop. Those are the two big signs that I have a problem. I was tidy jumping off. That I have an issue with what's going on. So that was, for me, the tipping point. Was just Thanksgiving. It was a weird day. I've had worse hangovers in my life. I didn't have a bad night Thanksgiving. Everything went off without a hitch.
Mm.
There was no low point. I already hit my low point and kept going lower from there, really. I mean, I've gotten, you know, I've, screw it, I got arrested for driving while ability impaired, and it wasn't the worst, and I was, and I'm putting air quotes, lucky, but it wasn't a wake-up call, because it wasn't that bad. It ended up being a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really lucky that I never really hit a rock bottom. I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my house. But you don't need to hit a rock bottom to decide that you need to change things.
Or even, like, a personal rock bottom.
A personal rock bottom, yeah. I've hit
doesn't
those,
too. Have to be, like, what society would expect a rock bottom to be. Like, your rock bottom could be that...
Well, apparently, my rock bottom was doing this guy's hair and not being able to get through the haircut because my anxiety was through the roof and I felt like crap. And just him knowing he went through... I don't know where I would have been if he didn't come into work that day. Honestly, I don't know where I would be right now if that customer at that moment didn't come in when I was feeling that way. But I knew his past, I knew his history, and that he is an AA. And I looked at him and he looked at me and he knew exactly what was going on. And I just thought about it right now. I honestly don't know where I would have been if he wasn't there in my chair at that point in time.
Mm.
Which is very interesting to think about, right?
Yeah,
you know, 'cause that was something I was struggling with for like 2 years. You know, I've been trying on and off to not drink. I remember like my friend, shout out to Gianna. Gianna was like offering to take me to AA because I was telling her like, oh man, I just can't stop. Every time I come home, I'm like, I just have to. And I don't know why I can't stop. And I remember stopping for a week and then starting again and, like, being on the phone with her and, like, crying on the stairs because I just couldn't stop. I don't know what the hell was wrong with me.
Right.
So who knows where I would have been without him coming in. But that was my tipping point. It was a very weird one. It's very subtle and no drama. Just made a decision. He's in the sink. It's fine.
I'm like, uh-oh, is he okay?
I have a cat that also has a problem. He eats everything. It doesn't matter what it is. I left a frozen ice pack on the counter one day and thought, he won't eat this. He tried to eat it. So he's downstairs right now, futzing around in the kitchen.
Mm.
But what about you?
I actually don't want to talk about mine just yet because I wanted to ask you another follow-up question.
Ooh.
For you, since today is your birthday and... You mentioned that Thanksgiving 2019 was your tipping point. Do you want to share? And you don't have to, because
okay.
I didn't, like, check this with you beforehand.
Okay.
But did you want to share anything about how your birthday this year is different from your celebration of your birthday last year when you turned 28, as opposed to 29? Like, is there anything, besides the fact that the world is on fire, like, is there anything else that...
I will say that last year was great. I had a great birthday last year. I threw a party at my house, but I do remember going into the party saying, I'm not taking shots. I want to last, like, I want to have a good time and not drink too much. And right when I got from home from work, I started taking shots, and my roommates laughed at me because it was exactly the opposite of what I said I was going to do. And it really wasn't that bad, to be honest. It wasn't like I dealt with a really bad hangover, but I could definitely tell that I drank the night before, and everyone was hungover, and it wasn't even a mess. Really, honestly, the birthday was great. Everybody cleaned up. But it's just different. You know, I woke up the next day feeling a little groggy. We all went out to eat, and we woke up this morning, and Chris was like, how does it feel to not be hungover on your birthday?
Because
the last birthday he lived here with me 2 years ago, I was very drunk, and I was very hungover. And then, a few years ago, when they were throwing a party for me for my birthday, I was too hungover to enjoy the party until I felt better at the end of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was laying on the outside patio furniture, this was like about 4 years ago, hungover during my own party. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It definitely affects it. Like, I'm awake, I'm fine, I'm making bread this morning, and I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of the day. But it's a big difference. Would I change what happened last year? Probably not. Last year was pretty good. But it was funny because all my gifts last year was liquor.
Mm.
Whiskey, wine, vodka, all this stuff. And someone had to take care of me. Like, my friend Laurel was like, make sure you drink water and eat a sandwich.
Right.
And then with that same group of people, I thought, oh, man, I'll never be able to have a party like this again if I'm not drinking, and that's a bummer. But then New Year's Eve, I decided to invite pretty much the same core group of people, whoever can make it. And I wasn't drinking, and I had a great time. And everybody else was drinking, but I wasn't. And it was still just as fun as my birthday.
Right.
So, yeah. So big differences, small differences, but nothing crazy. You know, but it's nice to not be hungover on my birthday.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you.
For all of the mental work and the physical work, too, because it's a physical restraint that I'm assuming. And you know what happens when you assume. You make an ass out of you and me. But...
You're in fourth grade.
But, like, what I mean is that I don't know because I'm not you and I can't speak for you, but I'm assuming that it is to some extent a physical restraint to keep yourself from engaging in that sort of behavior.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It does take all of the mental and the repetition of telling yourself how sobriety is going to improve your life.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, has that physical component of I have to make the active decision to not
drink
pour
today.
Myself a glass of this or whatever.
Well, and that helps with clearing out spots that you used to do it. Like I mentioned last time with the bar cart. I had to change the bar cart.
Right, right, right.
And take the alcohol off it. And we have a new old roommate in here. And he was like, oh, can I put my drinking stuff on the bar cart? And I was like, no, actually, you can't.
Yeah.
Not this time around, buddy. It's not good for
me. That's a really important boundary that you set for yourself.
Yeah. And then...
It's nothing personal, but
no,
this is,
yeah,
you
just,
know, this is the way it needs to be. And I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, because I'd spend half the night standing around that stupid little bar cart.
Mm-hmm.
Taking shots. So, no, yeah. So, I just, yeah. Thank you. But it's been fine. Some days are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't bother me until I don't know when it bothers me. It really did bother me during quarantine. Because I was thinking, I was like, ugh, I could have just waited and stopped drinking after this. But then, like I said last time, I was like, I probably wouldn't have made it through quarantine.
Right.
It would have been real bad.
Yeah.
But.
I agree.
Oh, well.
But I'm glad that you made the choice for yourself.
She's gently touching my arm like a healthcare professional would touch someone on their deathbed.
I don't know that health... Oh, would they? On their deathbed?
Maybe. I think they touch people like... You're doing great. Like a hand on the shoulder.
So what's next?
Are you not gonna refer to it? Which is fine.
No, I guess I can. So,
like your tipping point or any sort of, if you want to keep it vague for now, if you're...
I think I probably should be a little bit more candid about my experience. I remember when I was first admitted into IOP, which is intensive outpatient therapy, we had this whole group therapy session with all of the newbies of IOP, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we went around in a circle and talked about our stories. And my story was about me and who I was as a person and what my job was and where I lived and who I lived with and every aspect about my life except the eating disorder. And when I was done, my therapist, in IOP, I was assigned a different one that I go to regularly now. But my therapist was like, you didn't mention anything about your eating disorder in your story. And I was like, because I don't have a problem.
What are you talking about?
I was like, because I'm fine. You know Ross from Friends when he realizes
Girl,
that-
I never watched Friends. I'm of a higher caliber than that.
Okay. But just humor me for a minute.
Okay.
There's a scene where Ross is talking to somebody about the fact that Joey and Rachel got together, and he's trying to convince himself and everybody else in the room that he's fine.
Mm.
So he keeps repeating the phrase, I'm fine, but in this really high-pitched,
okay.
Clearly not fine.
Yeah.
A I have to show you that clip later. It's like the only thing that I enjoy from Great. Friends. Because the rest of the show was pretty god-awful in 2020. Do you have to do that right now?
I'm so sorry. It was bothering me so much.
She just took out a pair of scissors and started cutting at a little thread that she got on her pants because her cat went clawed right into the pants. So he like pulled the thread and I'm like, do you have to do that on the, like, we can hear the...
It's interesting. It adds intrigue you can hear and that. Mystery to the
Come
podcast.
On, man. I know it's your birthday, but let's have some boundaries.
Okay, I won't do that again. Oh, boy. Mm.
So, what was I saying?
You were talking about, I'm fine. I have no problem.
And I didn't really talk about my eating disorder because there's an element of shame that comes with discussing it openly. I know that if you know me in real life, which a lot of the listeners of this podcast do, you know that I am a big ol' a perfectionist. And I don't like admitting my flaws. I don't have any. No, I'm kidding.
None. This podcast is just for Maggie.
But I don't like talking openly about things that I struggle with because in my brain that I'm constantly trying to untrain of this message, a struggle equates to a failure. And I don't want to look like a failure because I'm perfect. And I don't really mean that, but like that's what my brain is saying to me all the time, right? That I can't look like I'm struggling. I can't look like I'm having a tough time or a tough day. Because if I have a tough time, that means that I'm struggling and a struggle means a failure, blah, 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 blah. I'm repeating everything I just said. But I think it's probably worth it to talk about here because there's probably... people that don't know about it. I don't even know if you know about it. Like the very beginnings of when I realized like, yo, I need some help.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that here. I don't really remember the context of why I was in this Dunkin' Donuts parking lot, but I remember being in a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot with my boyfriend at the time, who was going to break up with me in like 5 minutes after this happened. But not because of my eating disorder, because he wanted to go get married to somebody else. It's okay.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I remember getting something from Dunkin' Donuts. I don't even remember what it was. I don't remember if it was a drink or if it was a donut or some other sort of snack. But I remember sitting in the car and like crying hysterically that I couldn't engage in just eating something really normal. And that I was really struggling with something that was supposed to be a very enjoyable, like not only a normal experience, but a fun one, right? When you go out and you get a nice, let's just for argument's sake, say it was like a pumpkin spice latte or something.
Yeah, yeah, right?
That's one of my favorite things. Like you're supposed to enjoy that experience, not just be like, okay, I can tolerate it, but actually like revel in the taste of that autumnal goodness. Right?
This is the fourth time you said autumnal today, and any more times, I'm charging you money to say the word. We get it. You know the word autumnal.
But like...
Very impressive. But I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be pleasure. And it wasn't for me, and I was sitting in the car, like, crying, and this poor son of a bitch is looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with her? Like, I gotta dip. I gotta get out of this.
Gotta go.
But I remember after that, I was like, I need some help. And I think at the time, because we did break up shortly thereafter, I think I did tell myself that it was my disorder that ended the relationship. Even though I can look back now and I can make jokes that he left to go marry somebody else. Like, that's not really how it happened.
Yeah.
But I also know that it wasn't my eating disorder. It was just that we weren't meant for each other, and that's okay. But at the time, when I was 22 years old, just trying to navigate my place in my personal world, in a professional sphere, like, I didn't know any of that. So I thought it was just me and my shortcomings, my flaws, my illness pushed this guy out of my life and away from me. And I think that's obviously not the root cause of my abandonment issues, but that didn't help. Like, that didn't help it. And it was my own brain that was telling me these things. It wasn't him. It wasn't anything on the outside. It was like my perception of something, and that changed everything. And I remember at some point that summer, I started looking into eating disorder therapists. I actually did utilize NEDA. I know I plugged them last time, but they're the National Eating Disorders Association.
I need a therapist.
That should be their
tagline.
That should be their tagline.
I need a therapist.
We need to... Oh my gosh, we need to tag them and be like...
No, that should be the name of the episode. I need a therapist.
That was a great one, babe.
Thank you so
nice
much.
Job. Now I don't even remember what I was saying.
I'm so sorry. No, you decided to look into therapists that summer.
Oh, that's right. So I went on to NEDA, and I... Stop it. Now you're just going to start giggling every time I say NEDA. I'm probably going to have to just call them NEDA.
Yeah.
But I went on their website, and I chatted with someone online, and I told them what I was experiencing. And I said that I was having a real struggle with food and with body image, and I had a really tough time with eating food, which I know sounds very simplistic, but like that was what it really was.
Yeah.
I had a tough time going out for food to restaurants. I had a tough time social eating. There were a lot of things that I needed to be addressed, and I find it really interesting that I could tell myself, like, in that moment that I needed help, but then later, once I acquired the help, I was like, I'm cool. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah, that happened to me with the first few AA meetings in my head.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the beginning of it. And then from there was just, I don't know, going to therapy. I've been with the therapist that I matched with. That was 7 years ago, like exactly, because I started seeing her in June, I think, of 2013. And I still talk to her every week. And we're like friends, even though we're not. Like, I can't really call her my friend.
Yeah.
But she knows almost everything about me. We're very like-minded people. She's also a feminist, so it makes it really easy to talk to her about how sometimes I just get so disillusioned by the state of the world and the state of the country. But yeah, like, I still chat with her every week, and my other treatment team, like, the other members of my treatment team, my nutritionist is not the first nutritionist I went to, because, and I think maybe we can speak about this in a letter later. Or...
I think there's a letter I wanted to address.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the importance of finding a good match for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. This is a very loaded answer. I've been chatting for, like, 10 minutes. I need to...
That's okay.
Shut it down.
Shut her down. I need a drink. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god. I'm gonna put this coffee in your face if you keep making...
Nita jokes.
Or self-deprecating drinking jokes, although I get that sometimes self-deprecation is a coping mechanism. I get that better than anybody.
All right. And check-in. Good job, Erica. That was a great proposed topic.
I don't know if it... illuminated, is that the right word that I'm looking for? If it made,
so.
I don't know, if it helped, or gave you clarification about anything. But we appreciate you writing in. We love you so much. And thank you so much for asking us about our stories. We're really, I don't want to say I'm happy to share it, but like, I am happy to share it. Like, it's uncomfortable, but a good uncomfortable. So thank you.
We are witnessing, or I am witnessing real time, my hypochondria and anxiety on the microphone, because I'm getting like tinnitus, the ringing in my ear.
Oh boy.
And it freaks me out. And that's what happens with me. Just wanted to put that out there. Okay.
You're okay.
Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'll make it.
So do we have our first letter?
Yes, we do, but I have some news.
Mm. What?
Okay, so Alicia messaged me the other day and sent us the meaning of the word ether, which into the ether is into the void. So ether is also another void, and I was thinking we could use that as the void, because Anonymous Oh, they said from New York, but there's someone from the universe.
Okay.
But when they don't put their thing, we could use ether.
The ether, sure.
And I think that would be pretty
cool.
We'll
use the ether.
Okay, so the first one.
Thank you, Alicia, for that suggestion.
Yeah, that was a great one. Thank you so much. It's from Anonymous, and she's from New York. And her question is, how has your social life changed since getting sober? I got sober a couple of years ago and found that my social circle shrank tremendously.
Mm.
In a social culture where so much interaction involves alcohol and drug use, how do you find friends who want to do something other than drink or get high every weekend? I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. I really don't. It's something I struggle with. When I first stopped drinking, one of my best friends was asking me if I had been distant because of that or if it was something else. And it made me a little self-conscious. So I was like, oh, maybe it is that. I'm not really sure. I'm still just trying to get a handle on things. But I will say that my friends that I used to drink with still want to hang out with me. And they know I don't drink. Mm. Like, my friend wants to go out dancing for her birthday. And, like, that might be hard for me because I really don't dance unless I'm drinking.
I want to find out who this friend is after.
It's,
don't
yeah,
say
I'll
it.
Tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you
I want to know because I like to dance.
Yes, you know, you're invited. I forgot to tell you.
I know, I'm inviting myself. I'm like,
no,
I like
you
dancing.
Were invited, and it's a dance party.
And I dance sober all
and
the time.
And it's in the middle of the day. It's like at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh,
it's
that's
like
the best dance
morning
party.
Dancing. Yeah, but that's a hurdle that I need to personally get over because
okay.
I don't really like dancing unless I am drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But
sorry to make that about me.
That's all good. Tybee's at the door meowing.
He's like, I have some input.
I have some input. You're a lot more fun when you're not drinking. no, I mean, and like, I think I talked about it. The group of friends that I had for New Year, for my birthday, I invited over New Year's Eve, and I was wondering how it was going to be not drinking.
Mm.
And nobody really cares.
Yeah.
But I also have never really, drugs always icked me out anyways. So I never really surrounded myself with people that did a lot of drugs. I'm not counting weed, because weed is not a drug, in my opinion. But, like, harder stuff, I've never really been in that situation. And if I was ever close to that situation, it grossed me out, and I took myself out of it. Like, I couldn't even watch Breaking Bad, because that made me feel so icky on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with drug use like that, I'm not comfortable with. So I can't speak to that. But, like, my friends who, like, socially drink, it was fine. I had a great time New Year's. And I stayed up later than everybody, and I woke up feeling great. You know, it was like 4 o'clock, and my poor friend was passed out on the floor with his head against the couch. I'm like, sucks to be him. And I went to bed in my comfy bed. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think for me, it was an internal battle of, am I fun when I'm not drinking?
Mm.
Do people really want to be around me? And then I realized, I look back at all the times I was drunk in public. I'm like, wow, I was kind of an asshole. And maybe people like me a little bit more now that I'm not drunk. So in the beginning, I said it was hard, or I said it was like, I don't have an answer for you, but I really do. And I think this goes back to what Annie Grace said from This Naked Mind, what I was talking about last week, is you might have to change your mindset of going into situations. Like, instead of going into situations like I was doing in the beginning, like, ugh, I can't drink, this is gonna suck.
Mm-hmm.
I can go in and be like, I might have fun, let's see if we have fun today, and let's see how I do without drinking. And that mindset shift really helped me. It's like a training exercise. And I was never that social when I was younger. I really wasn't good in social groups. And I kind of had to make myself be more social. And now I do it as a job. So now I'm worse in social situations now because I do it all day. I don't want to do it when I get home.
Right.
But yeah, don't be afraid to go out and have fun with your friends, but also don't be afraid to set boundaries. And when you're in a situation that makes you uncomfortable, don't feel ashamed or scared to be like, Seacrest out. peace. You know, there's no problem with leaving a situation you're uncomfortable with.
You just reminded me, and this is irrelevant, and I'll have a lot to say about your feedback, because I think it's all really valuable feedback, but you just reminded me that Ryan Seacrest was in my dream last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Twilight Zone music. I don't actually know the music, so I just said that.
The Twilight Zone is like the...
There you go. Yeah.
But I was thinking, when you said that, the X-Files theme started playing.
Oh, okay. For me, it was Twilight Zone. And not even the music, it was just Twilight Zone.
Oh. Oh my god.
Damn it, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that's I don't even weird. Remember what he was doing.
She didn't even tell me about this.
Because, I mean, you woke me up this morning and I was like, like, you startled me.
I know.
And when you said Ryan Seacrest, it was like a, or Seacrest out or whatever. Yeah, exactly. It was like a schwing, and I remembered that I had a dream and he was in it. But whatever, that's not relevant to this letter or this advice at all. Are you done with your advice? Not to sound like I'm cutting you off.
Seacrest out, baby.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I so love that you said my favorite B word.
Boundaries.
Boundaries, baby.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. And here's why. That was the worst.
That was awesome.
I should cut that out.
No, absolutely not.
But here's why. Because, and I think Just Break Up said it. I love that we, our advice actually isn't really us. It's
we're
just
subcontracting advice from other people.
We're just borrowing little snippets from other people and sharing it with y'all. But, Sierra on Just Break Up said something so smart a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was during the like the live show that they did. I don't know if it wasn't this past weekend. It was two weekends ago. And she said something like a boundary or creating a boundary. I'm going to butcher this so bad.
Okay.
But it was like creating a boundary means like respecting yourself. See, I'm butchering it already. That's not what she said. But it was something about respecting yourself and giving yourself the space to have your needs met.
Oh, I remember that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
I'm totally fudging
close.
This up. Like,
yeah.
It's not at all what she said. But I feel like creating a boundary, Anonymous, for yourself is so important because you have the ability to kind of, and I don't want to say close yourself off because that kind of implies that like you're shutting yourself out from the rest of the world. And that's not what I want you to do or what we want you to do. But it allows yourself the space to say, this situation is not serving me and I need to remove myself from it so that I can continue living my life in the manner in which I want to.
Yeah.
And in the path that I want to
continue going down
or carving for myself. Like, I want to, like, those boundaries are going to be able to allow you to do that. So if there's somebody or a group of people that only invite you out when they're drinking or they that's like their go-to activity, and I know this is so easier said than done, but like, is there a way to make connections with other people that find joy and without just that?
Or maybe
like, I'm
they're
confused
if that's... as to what there else is to do. You know, it's
hard,
especially out here. I don't know if you're from the North Fork, but the North Fork likes to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is. But maybe like a suggestion is like, come over and we'll like all do like a pizza dinner. And
you could have a pizza bake-off.
Like, yeah, pizza bake-off. Like, when you make all the pizzas, but somehow your friend won out.
I hope Kayla's listening.
But it's you don't have to say goodbye to them, but also you can tell them where you're at.
That's what I was going to say, too.
And honesty and openness and being vulnerable makes way for better connection, better human connection,
so
interpersonal
true.
Relationship.
Oh my gosh, so true.
If I tell my friends I have a hard time being around drinking, the next thing that happens is that they want to, not accommodate, but they want to make me feel accommodated. And we think of more fun and cool things to do that are different than just sitting around getting hammered at a bar. And if you find that there is no accommodation and you continue to feel uncomfortable, that's a boundary that you have to think about setting for yourself. That's not for us to tell you, or for us to decide, you know. I've cut people out of my life for less, you know. But there's always something to do. And I will say, when you go out to dinner and you don't drink, the bill's a lot cheaper.
That's true.
Woo! We went out to lunch, social distance, outside yesterday.
For your birthday.
For my birthday.
Yeah.
And it was like $40. Like, if we were drinking, it would have been over $100. So there's always activities to do. And those activities might even be a little cheaper. But don't let people take advantage of your not drinking as an excuse for you to be the DD. Because that's not fair either.
That's so true.
But that's all I, you know, that's a petty thing I want to end it on. You don't always have to be the DD, okay?
I love how you're like, great advice, great advice, great advice, petty shit.
Because like, if I'm one thing, I'm very petty.
You can be pretty damn petty. I have to agree with you on that one, baby. Mm-hmm. But I want to say that I think Maggie's point about not cutting people out, because I feel like, and this probably, again, like my brain speaks to abandonment issue, yeah. Sam, where I'm like, well, if you're going to cut me out of my life, or that's not what I meant, but like, if
you're going to cut me out, I'm going to cut you out.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to beat you to it, bitch. Like,
you can't fire me. I already quit.
Like, that kind of mentality. So I don't mean to have that come out and be reinforced in whatever addition I had to this letter, or whatever response I had to this letter. I do think it's important to vocalize those boundaries to your friends, to say, like, this is something that I'm struggling with. I don't think it's appropriate for me to be around it anymore, and I need the space to do other things with you. I want to be able to enjoy my time with you. I can't enjoy my time with you if you are spending the time engaging in alcohol or drug use. Like, I need to be able to do other things. Do you think you can meet me there? And yep. If they say yes, then hooray, that's great, and find something else that you guys can do together. If they say nah, like, this is all we want to do, then fuck them. Like,
yeah, I don't honestly know. Fuck them,
you know, because you have to take care of yourself.
I think we always, when situations come up like that and we are going to talk to somebody, and we're about to confront them about something that you're feeling, we always expect the worst. But I don't think that's, you know, I would have more faith in friends if they're your
right,
friends.
Right.
I trust your ability to choose your friend group, and I don't even know you. And I'm sure that if you were to be open and honest and be like, listen, I struggle with this and it's hard for me to be around. Is there any other activities we could do? I'm sure they'd meet you there.
Right.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. If they love and care about you the way friends do, then it would be really foolish of them to say anything other than that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for writing, Anonymous.
Thank you.
We love and appreciate you, and we hope that you have found the clarity that you need and that you continue to find that clarity and support that you need.
Thank you. Now, she's laughing at me because I just said thank you twice.
No, it was just the manner of you're looking down at your phone to look at the next letter, and then you're like, thank you. And then you go back to looking at your phone to read. So what is letter numero dos today, birthday girl?
Kelly. From the ether, or the universe.
Well, she wrote the universe. So
yeah, but I want to use the ether now.
Well, let's give the universe. Kelly, you're from the universe.
All right, sorry, Kelly. I didn't mean to. All right, let's see if I can read this on my tiny little phone. Mm. Hi, Sam and Maggie. I am so in love and in gratitude of this podcast. I struggle with both disordered eating and am starting to face my own alcohol abuse. Mm. How do you handle or appropriately express your recovery journey, boundaries, and needs, huh? Especially in professional or healthcare situations. And this is what I really wanted to get into. I recently went to a holistic nutritionist. I was very excited and intrigued by their methods. Parentheses. Some may say they're a bit hippie woo-woo, but that's me. End parentheses. However, I was told by the provider I would have to track all my good intake. I express that as someone with a history of disordered eating, food tracking is a triggering practice that often leads me to binging or a generally poor mental state around food. She appeared shocked and couldn't understand why I wouldn't keep a food log. I had to essentially persuade her to give me the results of my eval. Mm. I left feeling unsure that I handled the situation well. I would like to continue with this practice, but definitely with a different provider. Would you address this situation with the practice? How? You two are amazing. Thank you for reading this. I didn't like how she left feeling unsure that she handled the situation well.
Right, I know.
Because I think that in healthcare, whether you're going to a hippie woo-woo or if you're going to a hospital or a doctor, that you are your most important and frontline self-advocate for your healthcare, no matter what you're going in for. I have a tiny bit of background in LPN. I have my LPN license before I became a barber. So I'm big in the self-advocacy for your healthcare, mm-hmm. for your own safety, and just speaking up for yourself. Do not feel unsure when you leave a doctor's office whether or not you said the right things, if you felt like you were honest and open and standing your ground with what you think is good for you and what doesn't work for you. This lady does not know what works for you or not.
So true.
And if you have a history of disordered eating and food tracking is something that triggers you or sends you back into those same habits, you know better than some lady that just met you. So what made me angry about this letter is that you left feeling unsure. Because mm-hmm. I think that you should have left feeling proud about yourself for staying, you know, for sticking with what works for you. And that might not be what works for other people, but that is, or what doesn't. That might work for some people, but it doesn't work for you.
Right.
If she can't accommodate that, and if she can't take that answer in stride with like, no, I can't do that, I'm really sorry, that's like, that makes it worse for me. And if she can't be like, oh, okay, so let's reevaluate and right. think of a new plan. That should have been her answer. Not, oh, what? What do you mean?
My goodness. I don't mean to make fun of
the holistic freaking doctor, but here we are. I'm not very off brand with me making fun of holistic doctors, but she should have had something else up her sleeve for you then.
An alternative.
You should not have left feeling unsure, and that makes me mad.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with Maggie, and I tend to agree with the notion of going to a nutritionist who has experience in disordered eating work, only because it is such a, I don't want to say delicate, because that implies that this isn't really strong work that we're going through and it's not going to make us stronger, but it's maybe nuanced, right? It's very, very complicated. And other doctors that I've gone to, not necessarily for disordered eating work, but other doctors that I've personally seen, whether it was a primary care physician or even a therapist or a social worker, I mean, with myself and those experiences, these are people that didn't subscribe to the idea of health at every size and instead supported or encouraged diet culture in my life. One doctor straight up told me he didn't think I had an eating disorder because my weight was at a healthy range for my height and my body type or whatever the hell he said. And it's really crummy to walk out of an experience with someone that is supposed to be your supporter and someone that's supposed to be helping you find wellness within the physical realm, the mental capacity, whatever. And they don't, you know, and they fall short. And what frustrates me really, really about this letter is that your provider made it about her instead of trying to help you.
Yeah, try to find another solution.
And for her to feel, I'm not saying that what she's feeling is wrong, right? Like, she might be completely out of her element with this, with being asked to not food log, or if someone's asking, hey, can I not track my food. That might be completely out of her element because maybe she's never experienced something like this. But even still, it's on her to try to find another path for you. That way it's not you that walks out of there feeling like, well, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Or like, I didn't say the right thing, or I could have logged my food. Like, if that's the boundary you want to set for yourself, then that's the boundary you want to set.
Boundaries!
I'm really sorry that this happened. Yeah. We're both really sorry that this happened. You didn't deserve any of it. And we hope that you are able to find someone, maybe somebody completely different, someone else who meets the needs that you're looking for.
Yeah.
In terms of whatever your nutritional goals are. And the thing that I'm always hesitant about, she's asking if
would we bring it up to the facility
or the provider. The thing that I'm always hesitant about bringing up to people now, like if I'm having an issue with something, I always kind of feel like a Karen when I'm like, well, I'm gonna talk to your manager about this. Like the other day when I had the issues with my car or whatever, like a couple weeks ago, I felt like such a Karen telling someone to do their job, even though like I was just telling them to do their job.
I think a good way to go about it would be like, hey, do you have a provider in this group that has a history of working with people with disordered eating?
That's a very good idea.
Because I really need to have somebody with that background.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody here does, do you have a suggestion of anybody else in this holistic practice, medicine world, not that just that practice, that you could suggest to me? And if their answer is, no, we don't, and no, we will not give you anybody else outside of this practice, they are not a practice worth going to. Because a health provider's main goal should be to provide health care for people in this world.
Right.
And if they can't provide you with the health care you need, they should be able to point you in the right direction. Just like if you were to go to a GE and tell them about something, and they send you to a physical therapist with a referral. That's the whole point of referrals. My answer to that would be, ask them. So that lady wasn't well equipped. Okay, you can write her off. Instead of addressing her, I would go and ask them, like I said, if they had somebody. And if they don't, please point me in the right direction.
Oh my goodness, you have the best advice today.
Birthday! it's so true because I don't suffer from an eating disorder at all. I never have, but I suffer from a problem with my jaw, which sounds so silly. And I can't go to certain dentists that ignore me when I say I can't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way around it. And I've had dentists who completely ignore me and do what they feel they need to do to give me the dental work that I need.
Yep.
And then I'm left in pain for a week. I don't do that anymore. I was young back then going to, you know, and I had one dentist that I loved. He's retired, and I'm freaking out about it, actually. But I had to go get my tooth removed. It was abscessed, and it was infected, and it needs to come out now. And a place in Riverhead was like, they didn't respect what was going on with my jaw problem. I can't keep my mouth open for too long. Mm-hmm. I need to take breaks. Like, you need to book me, like, an extra long time, because this is going to kill me if you keep doing it. I had to drive all the way to Glen Cove to find somebody who would fit me in time and could and accommodate the issues that I had with my jaw. So I'm all about self-advocacy when it comes to healthcare. I have a history with it in those terms.
Yeah.
And I know how to stick up for myself. I stopped going to the doctor with my parents when I was like 18 because I don't want them there with me. So I'm pretty good at setting a boundary, and so I guess it translates into telling you what to do. And I don't mean to tell you what to do, I just think it for me, that's how I would go about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important and really I think that's really effective advice, because you're not just going up to the provider and complaining about this particular individual that left you feeling unfulfilled, or unhappy, or even questioning yourself, right? Because you said that you walked out of there unsure. So you're not just going up to the director of this practice and saying, like, so this person made me feel XYZ. Like, you're asking for some feedback to explore working with a holistic nutritionist that isn't going to leave you feeling like, well, what did I just experience? And instead is going to leave you walking out of there feeling really, really good about the decision to go
and
there.
Empowered.
And empowered, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really effective, an effective way to navigate this.
Yeah.
Because you do come first. You know, like, you just come first.
Yeah.
Especially in your own, in the healthcare sphere, right? And taking care of you and what you need. Like, absolutely. You need to do you, baby boo.
Darn tootin'.
We ended so terrible. We were like going up, 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 up.
We are
up,
not good at ending these letters.
No.
I'm so sorry. I hope we helped you.
We really do. We love you so much, Kelly. And we hope that you have... that you have a better experience.
I hope you find a healthcare provider that can accommodate your needs.
Yes.
And listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
and not write you off.
Absolutely.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So that's it for the letters.
Yeah. Thank you for writing, Kelly.
Thank
we
you
love
so
you.
Much. That's it for the letters. And the daily affirmation I'm choosing because it's my birthday.
Yes.
It's nothing crazy.
Okay.
It's really not. It's very simple, but it helped me in the early stages of not drinking. I, like I said a million times, I am on the subreddit called Stop Drinking. And at the end of every post, and most people comment an acronym, which I'll pull up right now.
What's the acronym? Is that the affirmation of the day?
That's the affirmation
of
the day.
Ooh.
Of course, no one in this thread that I have is using it. This is ridiculous.
She's
guys.
scrolling.
I should have had it ready. Okay. IWNDWYT. I will not drink with you today. And so that's my affirmation for everybody for my birthday.
Hell yeah.
And for people who are struggling with alcohol use that are listening to this podcast, I will not drink with you today. And I'm only going to worry about today. And hopefully tomorrow, I will not drink with you tomorrow, but I will not drink with you today.
Yes.
And that's my affirmation.
I love that. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of when I was starting therapy, and my therapist and my nutritionist at the time, too, were trying to help me not overthink the future so much, and instead just be present and be in the moment. Which was a completely radical idea to me.
It's insane.
As a 20-something with undiagnosed OCD and and anxiety disorder and depression, like, it was a really newfound and completely almost unbelievable and unrealistic expectation
that
I could set for myself.
What do you mean, don't think about tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, or 2 weeks from now, or 20 years from now? What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, it was... it was so interesting to hear something like that. And I love the idea of, or the concept of, just doing what you can do that day, because that's all you have control over. You're not like Thanos, right? Does he have the ability to manipulate time?
Yeah, he has the time stone.
Ooh, see, I don't really know my Marvel. Oh my gosh. The other day, my friends wrote in our, we have like a Discord chat for all of the people from my hometown, and one of my friends wrote the quote from Spider-Man that was like, with great power comes great responsibility. And I was like, I know this quote, and I wrote in the chat, is that from Star Wars or Harry Potter? Because I was like,
you're the worst.
Like, I know I've heard this before.
You were so wrong.
I know. And one of my friends, Kat, she was like, it's from Spider-Man, Sam. And I was like, I don't follow comic book movie Superman. Like, I don't I don't follow that stuff, so... Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why the hell I ended up here, or how I ended up here.
What I am going to say, because you were talking about it, you were almost getting there, but then you distracted.
My own brain derailed me that
I hear this from my boss who's been in AA and sober for like 25 years. If you can't handle today, think about the next 5 minutes.
Mm.
And if you can't handle the next 5 minutes, just handle the next second. And if it has to go... From each minute that you think about a minute at a time or a second at a time, that's what you need to do. Which reminds me of the scene from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt when she has to crank the thing in the dungeon, and she tells herself, if I can make it through this next 10 seconds, if I can make it through this next 10 seconds. You know, I forget exactly what she says, but it's true. If you can make it through the next second, the next minute, you just go minute by minute, or if you can go day by day, but it's just today. I will not drink with you today. And if you are struggling so bad that it's hard to think about the end of the day, I will not drink with you right now.
I love it.
Love it. And that's my affirmation of the day. And that's my birthday podcast extravaganza.
Nice job, baby.
Let's high five.
Beautiful. All right, are you ready to wrap this mother up? You can follow us on Instagram at showyourselfpod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery posts, and submit your recovery-related questions to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us do just that.
We're really glad you listened in with us today and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other. Happy birthday, Maggie!
Woo! This is my last year of my 20s.